This morning I'd like to just share a little bit around our vision and Habakkuk 2 verse 2, quite a well-known scripture, where the prophet tells how the Lord spoke to him and said, but write the vision down, make it plain on tablets so that you may run and read it. Okay, I don't know if you've ever had something so precious that the Lord showed you or gave you, or a testimony of what the Lord, something the Lord had done in your life over a time or in a moment, and where you actually took the effort to write it down. And, you got it, some of you know where it is today. It's either a book somewhere in a journal, or you maybe stuck it up on the wall or inside your cupboard. And it really serves as such a powerful source of encouragement. That is what a testimony is. That is what, when we tell people about what God has done in our lives, we are actually saying, Lord, do it again. Lord, what you have done for me, do for someone else. This is the power of testimony. And the Lord drilled it into the Israelites from early on, and having reminded them personally and then through the various leaders and kings and prophets, reminding them, I'm the Lord God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, I brought you out of slavery, I brought you into the promised land. You know, tell this to your children and your children's children and to the coming generations. And they told it over and over again, and this is to a large extent how we have the Bible today, is because they were faithful in telling their children what the Lord had done for them. And they were so, it was such a sacred thing, so precious to them, that the scribes that would write over the testimonies and the history of what God had been doing would count the letters, count how many letters there were in this long message, and they would make sure that they do not miss one letter or one, spell or something wrong or whatever that would get destroyed. And so, people took things a lot more seriously back then, I almost want to say. And this is part of the reason why the Word of God to us today, Bible as we have it, is such an authentic and a precious document. There's nothing like this on earth. There's no book that comes close to the authenticity of the Word of God, of the Bible that we have today. And thankfully, it is also the best-seller and most widely distributed book on the earth today, and in over 40 countries as well, because of the power of the gospel. Power of God and salvation for all you believe. And this is something, as we saw at the end of that clip, we believe, as we see the Word of God, the whole gospel must go to the whole world. And this is part and parcel of what we are trying to do as a movement of believers. So we would almost want to say we're interdenominational, because we don't want to exclude anyone. We just, what you would call, as many churches would refer to themselves, as a Bible-believing church. We haven't chosen certain parts of the Bible not to preach or teach or that we don't agree with. We take the whole Word of God. And the exciting thing is that even renowned scientists today are starting to find more and more evidence that supports the Word of God and that actually refutes theories like evolution and these kind of things. So it's very exciting times that we're living in, exciting discoveries. There are some overzealous believers that will look and try and name some discoveries which are actually not authentic. So we don't have time for that, but those that are well researched and founded, and you can go and look at organizations like Creation Ministries. They actually have an office, a South African office in Durbanville. But you can go check out the website creation.com, and they've got some exciting scientific journals of all these amazing discoveries that are being made that actually supports the Word of God from Genesis chapter 1. And a lot of Christians today will think, well, I don't have to attach much value to Genesis 1 through 11. Let's just imagine that's all stories and hearsay. But if you take that out, you take out the reason for why Jesus had to come in the first place. So then you might as well crowd the whole Bible and make up your own religion. But you're not going to go, I'm going to get sidetracked this morning. That is one of my passions over there. I want to ask us this morning, and you're not allowed to look at that banner. You're not allowed to look at Chantal. You're not allowed to look at that. The answer is not that bad. Don't look at it. What is our church vision statement? There's something that I've asked every couple of months. And it's probably the same guy that answered me. I'm not going to ask you to answer it. I'll just ask you, honestly, if you know out of your head what is our church vision statement, then just raise your hand. Okay. Alright, so we need to get better at this. I'm not going to prolong it. I was in a church after I got saved. The Lord led me to a church after I came out of the Plantalant again in the UK, and the Lord led me to a church. And we used to, in our small groups there, we used to recite the church's vision statement every Wednesday night. Someone else had to do it. It was much longer than our shofar vision statement, but it actually boiled down to the same thing. So it was a very, it's the same kind of church that I was in. And when it was, I made sure I learned that vision statement, parrot style, and I had to learn exactly what it meant. But, I was serious about that. And I think, if we're part of something as important as the church, that we attend on a weekly basis, or fellowship with the members on a regular basis, you kind of want to know, what is it that holds us together? Why are we all different people part of this church when there's so many other churches out there? What does this church stand for? If someone asks you, what does your church do? What does your church believe? What do they stand for? What's important to your church? Why do you want to go there? You know, then I think it is important that we just at the outset know what is our vision statement. Most companies and organizations today would have a vision statement if you went onto their website. You can probably see that near the top of the homepage, you can see a vision statement. This kind of summarizes who they are, what they are, why they are here. What is the reason for their existence? And it's the same for us. We need to have a plan. This is not just a holy huddle or a happy gathering. We actually have it for a purpose. We're going to just explore that a little bit this morning. Also, at the end of the video clip you just saw. So, our vision statement is to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. Okay, so you know what? I think all of us should be able to memorize that. So don't be scared, I'm not brainwashing you, I'm teaching you something. You can forget it afterwards, but I should think that you can memorize that before we leave church this morning. So we're going to quickly read it through twice together, just because I have asked this a number of times, and we still don't know it. To reach nations, we took it to reach nations and generations through discipleship, leadership development, and church planting. Another time, to reach nations and generations through discipleship, leadership development, and church planting. Okay, now don't look at the board and now say it last time. To reach nations and generations through discipleship, leadership development, and church planting. See, so it's quite a logical process that we're talking about this morning. And it's all inclusive. Now I'm just going to flesh it out very briefly this morning. So if you ask your who, what, when, why, where, and how about the vision statement, what do you get? So I first want to start with the what. So what are we about? What is the culmination of what we are doing as a movement? What you are here for? It's the church planting. This is what we're about. We as Shofar see this as God's mandate to us, and we believe it is the most effective way that we can fulfill a great commission by planting churches. In other words, whether there is no church in a town or no church that Word of God the way we do, God might lay it on our hearts as a strategic church plant, or some of our members might naturally migrate to that town. And because of the strong relationship, the church, Shepherd Church, will just start praying out of a small group or something. But the point is to plant a church there. What is a church? A church is not a building. Okay? As Shepherd Urban explained, the building is important for people together, especially people that don't have a building. We are privileged to have homes. And many Shepherd churches have started in our homes. Okay? Are still continuing in homes on Wednesday evenings. You have a church. Okay? So we call it small group, but it's church. Church is where two or more gather in the name of the Lord. Where the Lord's children are, there is church. That's the name that we give to that. Who's the church of God? Who's the body of Christ? It's born again believers. Okay. When we gather, then we have church. So you can have church on the sport field. If you're a bunch of believers together and you're doing it for the glory of God, you can have church in your home. You can have church at the beach. You can have church in the car with your family on the way somewhere. You can do church. Okay. This is why we are here. And one day we will do church. Without needing any amplification in heaven one day, no distortion, just perfect clarity sound like no one can make on earth. And it's going to be awesome for eternity in heaven one day. So we're about church. And Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 12, says he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, one of the main chief reasons why we gather, obviously, is glorifying God, would be at the top of the list. Okay, but that you can also do at home. But one of the purposes, one of the chief purposes that we see throughout Scripture, why Jesus started the church and gave instruction to gather together and the Holy Spirit will come and he taught us how to serve each other and all these things and share the gospel and the importance of teaching and preaching. One of the chief reasons we have church is to equip each other for the work of the ministry. So the Lord has appointed people in different areas of different giftings. So that we can have a balanced spiritual diet and we can grow strong in the Word of God, knowing what our God-given purpose is, so that we can go out there and fulfill that as well. Okay, so we are here to equip each other for the work of the ministry. Each one of us is a minister. Each one of us has a ministry, has a calling, something that the Lord wants us to do for His kingdom. And to share, in terms of sharing the Word of God, sharing the love of God. It might not be teaching as such, but it can be immersed in ministry, in serving, or whatever. There's so many different ways. Okay? And we see that scripture, the fivefold office that Jesus instituted in terms of sort of ministry leaders, and we also know the gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12. And you also learn from the Bible school about the gifts of the Father that everyone is born with, whether you believe or not, you get born with certain abilities and gifts that God has given you as He has created you. But God knows the full package already when He created you. He knew what spiritual gifts He has determined for you, which office of ministry He wants for you, etc., etc., and all of these things work together to bring about the fulfillment of your calling in the specific people that the Lord wants you to impact for His kingdom while you're here on earth. Okay, so we see church planting as the most effective way to disciple people. It's not just about making converts. Jesus said, make disciples. Okay, so you can have a gospel crusade and you can make a convert, but when you leave that town, that person is a newborn infant in the Lord. And if that person is left there, unconnected, not part of a church, no one to help them make sense of the word of God, no one to support them and encourage them in the walk with the Lord, because as soon as they said yes to Jesus, that also made the new enemy in Satan, or rather, they attracted even more attack from the enemy. Satan hates all of us to start with. But when you become a believer, you paint yourself with a bright red cross, and you become a new target of the enemy. And we cannot leave spiritual infants on the pavement and expect them to grow up strong in the Lord. They're going to get taken out. They need a church. And that's why it's awesome that crusades like Rainer Walker's CFAN organization all throughout Africa, they work with the local churches. They've got crusades where there's over a billion people in attendance in one gathering, in one kingdom. And they've prepared months in advance, preparing the ground and interceding and praying. And they build this big stage up in these massive piles of speakers. And under the stage, they put Randall Walker and Daniel Kalender preaching the word, just the pure, simple gospel, preaching it there, with hundreds of thousands coming to salvation in that evening. And they've got hundreds of church leaders under the stage as they pray during that. And they've got hundreds of church leaders in the audience, spread out in the audience with follow-up booklets and cards and pens and all of these things. And so everyone that comes to salvation at those crusades, and then the details get given to one of the local church pastors, and they get followed up and they receive a booklet with the important scriptures of, okay, well, I'm saved now, what's the next step? And so they get followed up, and this is of vital importance. But the fact of the matter is that Randall Walker's got a massive ministry, but he cannot work outside of collaboration with the local church. The local church supports him, that's where we come in. And the local church is there to continue discipling people. He said, make disciples, teach them everything that I've commanded you. Okay, so that is, you realize that you need a church to disciple people. There are many people that have spiritual mothers and fathers, nothing wrong with that. But one person cannot disciple you in everything that you need to know. That's the importance of church, of a spiritual family. But no one person has all the gifts. No one person can give you a balanced diet as far as your spiritual life goes. This is why you can't just do, you said it's a swivel gap. You can't just do TV evangelist ministry on a Sunday morning, sit at home in front of the TV and you like this one preacher. He doesn't have everything that you need. This is why, even though I'm the pastor here, as a so far group, we kind of divide up into regions, and then you'll have other pastors from within the region also coming to minister every so often. Everyone has your experience at different giftings, so you're getting a more balanced diet that way. And the other thing that's important with church compared to if you just, you know, were listening on the radio to some minister or whatever, is that you actually can see the person's life. You've got a relationship with the people that are ministering to you and that you're ministering to, and so you can see the fruit of someone's life. And you can see someone's going off the rails and where there needs to be correction, where the bones need to be spat out in terms of the fruit you need to get, whatever it may be. That's very important. This you do not have with people over the radio that you don't have relationship with them. You see, so they can be preaching spiritual healing, but they might have spiritual TV, and what will you get when you listen to them? You get spiritual TV. Okay, because you can teach someone what you know, but you can impart what you are. Very important. And that is the safety and the protection. Remember, our Lord is the good shepherd. He wants to keep the sheep safe. He wants to gather the sheep. The enemy tries to scatter. The Lord wants to gather us. So he wants to gather us in groups. He wants us to be safe. He wants to surround us. So he wants us to be in a place where we can receive teaching without having a critical spirit and wanting to see the best in everything that you're learning. And that you can only do if you actually know the people. If you're walking the road with somebody. Now, because you're stuck with what? You're stuck with what? And there's an echo from some of the stuff. And so, it's very important that we find ourselves planted in the body of Christ. The Word of God says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Okay? You will do well on Judgment Day if you spend your life planted in the church where you felt the Lord led you. It's important. You don't just pick a church randomly. You pray about it. That is one of the most important decisions after you come to faith in Jesus Christ. What church does the Lord want you to be in? Where the Lord wants you to serve, where the Lord wants you to grow. You don't wait to be mature before you start serving. You start straight away. If you know the Lord, you are one huge step ahead of someone who doesn't know the Lord. And you can already help someone. Okay. And no one's lame. We can all pick chairs. And so, we just started serving. Us all pack chairs. It's a privilege. And I was doing so for many years. Carrying around, breaking my back, carrying sound equipment and steam wash, and serving it at 3/4 of my monthly. And it's a privilege to serve. Anything I can do for the Lord is a honor for me. And I don't need thanks. I don't need reward. My reward is knowing the Lord and being excited that I can go and be with Him. So that's more than that. What more do I need than that? It's my honor to serve my King that saved me from destruction. And so, we need to be planted in our school. We need to take ownership of our church. Not my church, it's our church. It's your church. Take ownership. And I know I'm preaching to you, and I'm good to hear this morning, because you guys are taking ownership and you're very, very blessed and a huge blessing. So share it. Share the word. Share the encouragement in our small groups when we meet in each other's homes, when we meet at our prayer meetings and so on. Let's encourage one another to really build this thing. Build the Lord out. Not a physical house with bricks and mortar, but a spiritual house. You know, there's a good time of pride. You can be proud of your church. Because we're just partnering with the Lord. We just allow the Lord to use us. We give Him all the glory. He's the one that's holding us. We cannot do anything of ourselves. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't give ourselves a zeal for His house. He's done all of that. But allow Him to lead you in that way. Be led towards the Lord and towards the love for His people and for His house. Be led that way. Okay, so how? How? The how of our vision statement. How do we make disciples? How we make disciples? In other words, growing in your relationship with the Lord, growing in your maturity in Christ. Well, you certainly get encouraged and you get some kind of nourishment in our services, in the small groups we call, at intercession. You learn in terms of your relationship with God, relating to Him, talking to Him, listening. Grow, you learn His voice. The encounter series, the old foundation series. This is a basic discipleship track that we have as a church, which is super important. Some people used to in the old days refer to it as a divorce machine, because you come in at foundation one kind of messed up and broken as a new believer, still with some hurts and aches and pains from the past life. And when you come outside the other end of foundation five, you're a pretty strong believer. You know, and so it's like the divorce machine. Have you been through the divorce machine? It's awesome thing. And we kind of don't refer to it that way anymore. I think some people don't understand the intention there. That was kind of just a sad thing that came from church members. But it is amazing. Now we call it the encounter series. It's kind of being a bit revamped and a bit of a new approach to the modern era and whatever. So that the young people that are so the spirit also stay focused. So it's an exciting time. So we've got, you know, encounter 1 and 2 and 3 still being developed. So at the moment we're still doing foundation 3 and foundation 4. But please keep a lookout for people already attending it, you've already attended it. We need people to help facilitate it. So if you've done it before, again, take ownership. Use the opportunity to grow by giving, by sharing, by being the one in the leadership position. So, this is how to reach out to each other. If you can help out through the encounter series, now you can actually help someone else at that step. Okay, this is how we can grow together. So that's the Council of Bible School. At the moment we've got a number of first years that are doing correspondence Bible School. And we've got three students here at the church doing second year Bible School. And that's really awesome. I can encourage you that first year. Second year is like just the double blessed. So you want to do that. You can enroll for Bible School again next month actually for the second semester. So you can actually do it from June to June. As well, we're going to do it that way. And this is how we get discipled as well. Bible school is amazing. And then missions. On a mission trip of 2 weeks, taking that time off work, you couldn't spend your week any better than going on a mission trip. And often it costs a few bucks because there's either jet fuel involved or 95 unleaded random diesel, depending on where you're going. And then you could, of course, help. So there might be a few bucks involved, but again, you couldn't spend your money any wiser than going on a mission trip. Because it's 2 intense weeks with the Lord, trusting the Lord for breakthrough in other people's lives, breaking new ground for the Lord, ministering cross-culturally, watching the Lord move in different contexts, way it takes you out of the box. Suddenly God doesn't just exist in a box in your head anymore, He's like everywhere. And He's powerful and lives are changing. And you come back after that mission trip almost more blessed than the people that you went to ministry to. And in those 2 weeks, you've grown what otherwise would have taken you 5 years to grow in the Lord. You grew in 2 weeks. Shane, am I telling the truth? Amen, brother. Okay. Shane went with us to Thailand last year. We can testify miracles as well. And so it is life changing, and it's a way that you get discipled as well. Jesus, our King, came to serve and not to be served. It's in serving that we grow and that we receive. Yeah? You can stand on that scripture, all blessed you need to receive. The Lord blesses you out of your source. So I want to encourage you, if you think you've arrived, if you think you've hit the ceiling, you cannot grow anymore in this church, maybe you should start giving more and watch how the Lord will grow. Watch how you grow. Take permission. Paul says to the church of Corinth, right Corinthians 11, he says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Discipleship only happens in relationship. Or should I say, the most effective discipleship happens in relationship. In relationship. This is why we can't just have a radio ministry in our ears and think that we're going to grow tremendously into the Lord. It's not going to happen. We need to be planted in the local church and become part of the life of the church, not only receiving, but come to church, go to small groups, available and ready to give as well. Say, Lord, I'm on my way to church this morning, hallelujah. I'm on my way to small group. Please use me as well. Maybe there's someone you want you to pray for. Maybe there's a word you want me to bring. I'm open to that, Lord, use me. But most of us don't even think in that way. So we exclude that possibility that the Lord effectively can't do this. He doesn't force Himself on anyone. And so come to my invitation. So we must make ourselves available. Be proactive like that. And watch. Watch how the Lord uses you. And watch how the Lord takes you to the next level. To your walk with Him. As you allow Him to work through you. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, again, discipleship happens in relationship. We need someone to teach us. Okay, I've got people teaching me as well. In relationship within the Shofar body, I've got leaders, I'm still in training, I still attend theological courses and all of these things. You never arrive, you see. You can always learn more. That's why we read the Bible over and over, because the Lord can keep on teaching us more and more. The Word of God is so multidimensional. that you can never have the excuse of not reading the Bible. Okay, so we all need teaching. We all need correcting. We all need to be rebuked sometimes and say, oh, you just did this out of line. It's not right. So we need people in our life. We need discipleship. You're not going to last very long as a believer if you're isolated. If you're out there on your own, not part of a local church, not allowing anyone to speak into your life, having no authority spiritually over you, you're not going to grow very well. In fact, your faith is going to start taking shots in your life. It's the coal out of the fire principle. Take one coal out of the fire, leave it on the side. That fire will still be burning on. Long after that coal is gone. Go on, ice cold. Okay, you do not want to go cold. The Lord wants us to be on fire forever. Okay, the next step of the hour in our vision statement is about leadership development. We're going to reach patient generation and discipleship and leadership development is the next one. So how do we do leadership development? Well, there's plenty of opportunities to take the leadership function in the local church. We've got a number of different ministries running in the church. You get, the ushers, the welcome team, the Bible school, encounter series, intercession, children's church, you name it. There's plenty. And there's many more that we can still take on board, but for a lack of leaders. Okay, and so we need to pray about it. We don't want to just be asking people, don't you want to facilitate this for us or lead this for us or whatever? The best is, and when someone is really in a run with something, they learn from them. Okay, someone comes to me and says, wow, I've really got a heart for mercy ministry, or to minister to the poor. Let's talk about that, let's make a plan around that. And you say, great, I'm glad you've got the vision for that. Okay, let's make it happen. And you facilitate it, you'll make it happen. That guy's got the vision, so then you know it's going to happen. Because there's also so much that one person can kind of coordinate effectively. Right. But again, the best is if you are proactive and you say, God, is there something in the local church that you want me to run with, that you want me to facilitate? What is it? And take your time about it. Take a day or two or a week and really pray into them and watch them, Lord. He will speak to you. And then you'll come to me and say, well, I really love the Lord saying, you must be more involved here, take the lead here. And when you're in that, then you find a leadership capacity, you're facilitating, there's people that you need to coordinate, there's people you need to minister to, and your faith and your walk with the Lord goes to the next level. Okay. And there's no stopping, there's no ceiling to how much you can grow and how much responsibility you can take on. If you are willing and available, the Lord will use you, and the Lord can do the impossible. The Lord can do the impossible. When you look at some things that some of the Christian leaders of today are doing, you're astounded, because that's like 10 people do that amount of work. And somehow they do it because there's a need, and the Lord has laid it on their hearts, or they've made themselves available, and the Lord is using them miraculously to keep all of these balls balanced in the air. But there's a shortage of Christian leaders in the world today. Okay, we need people that make themselves available, people with initiative to go to the ends of the earth. Because you've got 2 billion people on the planet that don't know about Jesus yet. And if you want them to be reached, it takes a leader to go and tell them about Jesus. It takes someone with some initiative, some courage, some boldness. And when the Lord gave us the Spirit, He gave us all of that. He gave us initiative, courage, and boldness. We just start using it sometimes. We keep it stored in a drawer. You need to open that drawer and pull that out. So we also have the ministry training programs for those that feel led to be more involved in the leadership capacity in terms of church part and within Shadow. We have got a 4-week program that's stretched out over a year with practical in between, where you'll kind of fine-tune some of the requirements and skills and the know-how in terms of church plant and supported ministry within the new church plant. And obviously it's an opportunity also to build a relationship with our leaders at HQ and so on. And at Shofar, what is of utmost importance is relationship and maintaining the integrity of our relationships. Okay. And that's why Shofar is a safe place to be. That's why when you go to a Shofar church in another town or in another country, you can know this is not an autonomous church that's doing its own thing and, you know, they're in danger of going off the rails. We all in a, you know, very structured relationship with each other and accountability and transparent relationship and have a relationship is really loved. You know, the leaders in Shofar are pretty much raised up in the church. They're all saints in the house that have been raised up and to further the work of the ministry. And so we've all known each other for years. We've been friends. And we really have to care, deep care and love for each other. And so there's safety in that. And there has had to be correction in the past where you've seen a minister, something kind of a section meeting for something that's been addressed. And there's been repentance and reconciliation and restoration. And so it's a safe place to be. You have to be very careful if you're in another town and you're joining a church that's standing alone and no relationship with other churches, then you must really have a close eye to the group, the leaders and the ministry. Very important. When you're looking for a church, every church should have a safe and a faith of that belief. That's your first point that you can check out. Then you check out the fruit and the word that you're receiving in that church, and ultimately you must have that inner witness that this is where God wants you to be. And so show God where God wants to be, well, that is our vision statement. And so this church plant is sitting there in front of you. Because God wants to have you in a church that is all about planting churches, taking the whole gospel to the whole world, but God wants to use that, use you in that capacity in some way. And obviously Shofar Tabernacle is still very much a church plant. We're still busy building this church. And so you are actually called church planters. Being in a small church, we don't like to say small church, growing church. Being in a growing church, you will be more in touch with what it takes to make church happen, to create an environment and different systems of discipleship that exist within the church. You'll be far more closer to that than if you were in a planted seat of the church. And so you're that much closer to being able to plant your own church at some point in terms of, you know, training that still needs to get down. You're that much closer because you're very much aware of everything that is going on. And there's a relationship. People, leadership knows you. So when you come and say, I've put a burden in my heart to actually be involved in planting a church, a new church, then we know you. It's not like we have to start building a relationship with you and kind of look up your CV and everything. We can say, oh, well, we know that you're doing this in this capacity, and, you know, we feel the Lord saying that and that. Just pray about that. If you have an agreement, then let's get on with the training. Where you go. So it's exciting times. It's really exciting times for all of you and all of us. And so 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 says, the things that you have heard me say, this is Paul Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust that to reliable people who are also qualified to teach others. Okay. So there also you see the chain of discipleship, of leadership, how it works. Paul teaching Timothy and telling Timothy, Timothy, now you must teach reliable people that will be able to teach others also. You see this chain. And what is important to realize here also that the word reliable, also faithful. You can substitute that word with faithful. This is the number one attribute that God promotes in his kingdom, is faithfulness. You know the parable of the talents, well done, good man, faithful servant. You've been faithful with little, now I will trust you with more. Okay? When you're faithful in the natural, God can trust you with the spiritual. When you're faithful with someone else's, God can trust you with your own faithfulness. Okay? That which you, which God has given you to do now, to do that as unto the Lord, the best of your ability, then the who of our vision statements. We're talking about the generations. The generations. Okay, that's everybody. I have all this scripture that I've got there in 1 Timothy 2:4. God desires all men to be saved and to come to know the truth. Okay, that's everybody. Now, and, you know, we get so many compliments as shofar, or, you know, pretty much all the shofar churches. We always get complimented by other church groups and so on. Wow, you know, you've got so many young people in your churches, you know, and older people, not older, you've got older people. Okay, no one is old, eh? Maybe when you're as old as my grandfather is turning 94 on fire, and you could probably say you're over 90 then you're old, because there's no one old yet, because there's just older, wiser people. So we always get compliments, you've got young and old in your churches, as though people only expect old people in churches these days. Because that's what they see, a lot of churches. They see that, some of the traditional churches, I know some traditional churches, I'm not going to name them or whatever, but where the average age is close to 80 years old in the church. And that's not a joke. And so, that is actually scary. That is scary. You know, it is, God wants us to reach all generations. He says, you know, he's ordained praise for the mouth of babes, you know, from children. He had the little children coming to him. He would have us dedicate and consecrate our children to teach our children in the way of the Lord, so when they're older, they won't depart from it, but that they grow up with the Lord. Our children, the children are meant to be, there's meant to be children's church in every church. And there's some children's churches that don't have a children's church because the average age of the members is 80 years old. Okay, generation. So we can be proud of the little that we have. We can be proud of because God is doing something. He's doing something new in the church. And we can really be grateful that God has led us here at this time as well. So, all ages. And then the where, that is the nations, to reach nations and generations. So, Revelation 7:9 says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and man, who stand before the throne. Before the name, and they were wearing white robes, holding branches in their hands. Okay. In heaven one day, there's going to be people from every nation and tribe and tongue. So we are not excluding anyone when we're planning our missions and so on. We are open to whatever the Lord says. The Lord has used shofar mission trips. He's used guys in the Stellenbosch. Of the Stellenbosch mission trip to Malawi. He's used guys that don't know one word of the local language there, to Chewa, to bring a word to those people. The guy thought he was bringing a tongue that needed to be interpreted, like one of the gifts of the Spirit. Meantime, the Lord gave him in that moment fluent to Chewa to speak to the people. So really, it doesn't matter where the Lord sends you. You can be open to wherever the can minister to those people. Okay, every nation, tribe, and tongue. Okay, so we get to reach nations. And then the last thing, why, is of course to reach. You see, so we work with that verse now. And we go to the most important question, why? Why is this our vision to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership, learning, and church planting? Because the Lord said in Matthew 28, just to summarize it with a much scripture, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, so it's because the Lord said so. I don't fight that here. The Lord said so. So our mission statement is kind of just a paraphrase of the most of the Great Commission. This is why we have, this is the Lord's last instruction to us, and this is what he's going to for what he is doing there? Are you going and making it? Are you running with the vision? Well, at the start of the service, we weren't clear on the vision. So I want to challenge you, become clear on the vision of your local church. Whether one day you move from here to another church or whatever, be clear on the vision of your church. Start running for that vision. Because it's not just those in leadership that are meant to be running for the vision. It's all of us. It's your church. We are the church. We just have different functions in the church. Okay? And we're all in the process of training, including the leaders. Okay? And so some of you will be up here because you're training now, and you'll be here, and then you'll grow up from here to somewhere else, or whatever it might be. Okay? So we all have a ministry, and the Lord wants all of us to run with it. We've had a good morning. Well spent, but over time. Sorry, I just want to close with a bit of news. Who wasn't in school group on Wednesday? Okay, sorry, I don't want to shame anyone here now. Yes, last Wednesday, as you know, I'm really looking at So, we shared, I mean, Juliana, you might have heard that, because it showed quite great punch, and you're quite healthy. But, yeah, there's... We were asked by leadership a few weeks ago, about a month ago, to pray about taking over another congregation in France, York. And so we did. We prayed. And we prayed and we prayed. And the Lord showed, confirmed. So my family and myself will be relocating to France, York. End of June. So it's quite a quick thing. It is not as quick as some of the biblical examples I can show you. Okay? So it's sad on the one hand, obviously we're going to miss everyone. Our leaders have known about it for some time. Some leaders for about 2 weeks, others for a week now, so it's been quite a quick thing. And obviously we'll be replaced on this side, and that family has been identified. Really, they're from Malmesbury, and they're coming here, and our leaders have met them as well. Maybe the leaders in our local church have met them on Monday night. And then you would have heard a small group on Wednesday, you had a small group about this group. So I do want to encourage you, if you have any questions or any concerns or anything like that, please feel free to come and chat with me. I can explain to you in more depth the what God has been saying, and the reasons why we do things the way we do it. But yeah, needless to say, there's actually a number of churches involved in these shifts at the moment. But God is not confused, and we can see God's hand in all of it very clearly. And so, yes, as I said, we're going to miss everyone so much. We've built a good, solid, and close relationship over the last 5 years. So I'm going to miss a lot of people. You might only miss me, but I'm going to miss a lot of people. So if you think it's tough, it's going to be tough. Don't worry. But we're not falling off the face of the earth watch. It's 80 kilometers that way. And you will see us again. As I said, we're moving back up to the new minister. His name is Latif Ace. And his wife is Etta. They have two small daughters. And Latif will be ministering there next Sunday of the year as well. And then he'll minister again in June. And then end of June the 29th, we'll have a farewell celebration and service. And he'll also be ordained as the new pastor on that Sunday. So I'll be here that Sunday as well. And then I'll still come and minister a few more times over the next few months. So it's not the last that you will see of us, and by that time you'll already be growing to have a new couple, a new family. So yeah, one thing, as I said, that's left to say is change. For some of us it's a difficult thing, You know, we always jettison over God's work, but I've got so much peace about handing over the church to the new pastors. You know, the Lord encouraged me. You know, I had peace from the beginning when the Lord showed me, but the Lord encouraged me with one of the scriptures when I was asking about who's going to come here, and he gave me a scripture that he gave us at the start of this church plant. That's in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. God has given me a number of scriptures, but that's just one of them. I'd like to be nice this morning that you might have heard, maybe the small group leaders share that with you as well. The 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Okay, so the Lord will use whoever's available and ready. The Lord will use them. And Paul and Apollos, their ministry approaches were very different. And people made the mistake of comparing them to each other. We're not going to do that. Ritik is going to have different, slightly different approach, a different gift. You know, from myself. I don't think he's going to be way different. I have met him and we're chatting a bit about gifts and callings and so on. The vision stays the same. The church is in the same direction. The venue stays the same. Everything like that. So it's not wholesale changes. You won't end up being a different church now. Obviously, over time, you know, the new leader will bring his fragrance and, you know, the flavor might change slightly, but same dish that is getting cooked up, the same truth that is getting fed. And I know that it's going to be very good for the church and it's going to take this church to the next level. So I'm excited for Table View and I want to encourage you to embrace the new family that will need your encouragement and your support. It's not an easy thing to plant a church or to take over a church group. It's not easy, you know, it's a build relationship. And as the Word of God says, I want to encourage you to make it easy for them. Don't just give them a hard time. You know, make it easy for them because they are God's servants to you for good. Right? We'll still talk more about this. And we're still here for a good few more weeks. So, yeah, that is what I wanted to leave with you in case you haven't heard the news yet. And obviously, there's some people that are not here this morning. So feel free to share the news, it's public knowledge now. We just have to be very sensitive about the timing and how and when we convey the news. Because we don't want any sheep to run away now, to be out in the wilderness without a home. Please, in any change, in any crisis in general in your life, not that this should be a crisis at all, but stay the course. Don't make decisions in the midst of it. Keep going straight. The shortest way to first storm is going straight, not trying to turn to the left or the right. Okay, so if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, then please do not run away and talk to me, and I will set you at peace because God knows best. I encourage you to trust Him. Okay, I just want to pray for us. Father God, we just want to thank you for your love and your goodness, Lord. Lord, as the scriptures say, Lord, that you are the one that brings the growth. You are the one that brings the increase. Anything that we have done as a church up to now, Lord, it is really just you that have built what is here in our lives and what has happened through our lives, just you, Lord. And Lord, you remain here. You aren't going anywhere. And so I want to thank you for the sake of Shepherd Table. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to bring the increase, and you'll use new people, Lord God, at various times. You'll add to this team of leadership here in the church and the various ministries here, and you will also move people on to different places. But Father, we are thankful that you are the one calling for us, and you are the one calling for the increase. And I just speak your peace over this congregation. And over anyone that has heard the news of the change and might be slightly overwhelmed by it at this time, your peace that surpasses understanding to just come over that, Lord God. Lord God, that you will just grant that perspective and even expectation and excitement of what the new season will hold, Lord God. Because it surely is a new season for everyone, Lord God, and it's a season of growth, it's a season of increase. And I just want to give my name. make strong disciples and raise up leaders from that can go and plant even more churches, Lord God. Taking the gospel, breaking new ground in you and your kingdom, Lord God. And raising up more disciples that can become leaders and plant more churches until the whole world bows its knee in worship unto you. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Lord, I just speak the blessing over each one here, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, with them. Thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful to complete the word that you have given us. You are faithful to complete the word that you have given us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'd just like to leave an invitation with you if you are feeling disconnected from the body of Christ in the Lord. Please don't